At BP, we've reset our strategy with a focused downstream, a growing upstream, and disciplined investment in the transition. See how we'll grow shareholder value at bp.com/reset.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active has teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start to feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio20 to get 20% off their entire range, including Meno Active and Meno Botanicals. You can find out more about Revive Active on their website, reviveactive.com. I'm Dora Walsh, personalized nutritional therapist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems such as obesity, very hard to lose weight, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important tips and nutritional advice that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. This week, the topic of our show is from perimenopause to menopause. Your transition is your choice. We've seen the topic of menopause talked about a lot and regularly discussed on the TV and in the media. Menopause has always existed, and now more women are speaking about it. But it's important to remember that this is just one of the many transitions our bodies go through. And in fact, every stage we go through is connected to the other. Today on the Nutrition for Me show, we're shining a spotlight on some aspects that are so often overlooked in the current menopause conversation, and also highlighting how understanding life's transitions and our bodies puts choices and power at our disposal. So don't think of this show as a show for a certain age of woman, because this is about your body from your 20s all the way into your 60s. This week, we have a wonderful guest with us, Wendy Hill. She's a Revive Active health expert, nutritional therapist, nutrigenomics practitioner, public speaker, yoga teacher, and health coach. With a wealth of expertise in these fields, she delivers insightful presentations to groups on topics including health, longevity, and menopause. Additionally, Wendy hosts her own weekly podcast titled Fab Female Nutrition, offering valuable insights and practical tips to her audience. Her one-to-one and group programs are designed to empower women to take control of their hormones, understand their body's needs, and make sustainable changes to their lifestyle. Wendy's overarching mission is to instill a sense of confidence and well-being in all women, helping them recognize that they deserve to feel amazing every day. Wendy works with menopause health professionals to support women holistically, whether they choose natural meno solutions or HRT, and is also aligned with menopause groups across the Midlands area. That's a big introduction for you, Wendy. And it's great to have you on the show. As a nutritional therapist, why did you become a specialist speaker on all things menopause?
I didn't originally set out to be a menopause expert. I have to be perfectly honest. I came from a very male-dominated industry, and this is my second career. And then I just realized that I was attracting, can we say, women of a certain age, and I was getting such a lot of joy out of seeing the transition, seeing them come back to life, seeing how empowering it can be to feel back in control of your body. And then as I started to learn more, so it was part of my training, and then you often look retrospectively back at your health history as a practitioner. And I didn't go into nutritional therapy with a significant health sort of outcome or aspect. Some people do, they have health history. But as I started to look back, I realized that actually I hit perimenopause pretty hard in my sort of very early 40s. And I didn't even know, well, I don't even think there was a word for perimenopause then. We're going back sort of like 13 years. There wasn't really a word for perimenopause. We just called it menopause. And I thought it happened when you got to 50. I started to realize how the changes I'd made in my health and well-being and my diet had positively impacted my menopause journey. And I started to put all the pieces together, looking at the clients I had. And I was like, no, actually, there's so much value in this. There is so much power in being able to have a positive impact. And very much for me, it was about changing that rhetoric and saying, what can we do positively and impact on our journey? And it's our overall health journey. It's not just menopause, but that perimenopause lasts quite a long time. And if we're making some positive changes, we can reduce the symptoms. That has to be a good thing, right? Doesn't it? And that's really how I started. Now, I just love it. It's an area that really interests me. And I think this, I can just have such an impact. Small changes have great results. And seeing the joy in clients when they start to feel those results, often clients are just at the end of their tether and think there's nowhere to go. And when you can start to shine a light and they start to grow in confidence, that is just wonderful to see. And I want to stop what I now know I went through without realizing what it was. So empowering, giving knowledge, I think, is really key.
You also work with other menopause professionals. Tell us about that too.
So I work within a private GP practice, so menopause experts. That I love being part of that team. They are very much nutrition and well-being focused. And I also am working with a joint initiative with NHS England and the DHSC. It's a 3-year contract. And I'm very proud of the work they've been doing with that. So I work on behalf of Salus, and we're delivering the well-being side of it. And we're really looking at menopause in the workplace and helping shine a light what those things might be and what changes we can make. I'm really passionate about keeping all that knowledge in the workplace. And it still surprises me pretty much every time I deliver a workshop, somebody will come up to me and say, I now realize that I left a job that I loved and it was partly down to perimenopausal symptoms that I didn't recognize as perimenopause. And now I've done your workshop, I can see that that was what was driving it. And it might have not been the whole picture, but it was part of the picture. And if we are constantly losing all of that knowledge and that expertise from the workplace, it's such a shame. I want women to be able to continue doing jobs that they love for as long as they want to be able to do them.
Why is this transition something that many women still seem to be in the dark about?
I think there is still, from experience, I think there's still an element of, we think it's a very short period of time. A lot of people still think it 48 to 52, and it's all about hot flushes and night sweats and loss of memory, and not realizing that actually the transition can start much earlier, and that many of the early signs are nothing to do with hot flushes. They're often very much emotionally based. So one of the things that I see quite a lot is a lack of confidence. Things that used to bring you joy no longer bring you joy. Women can get a little bit alienated. For me, I felt quite victimized, I think is probably a good way to describe it. If someone asked me a question at work, I was immediately second-guessing why they were asking me it. And I now know that was down to the early hormonal imbalances. And things like migraines can be a sign of it, heart palpitations. There were so many things. It's almost like we get into the point where I'm talking to women and it's like, can we associate almost or all of their signs and symptoms to perimenopause possibly. And that's not to generalize it, but it's to say that there are so many associated symptoms with this hormonal imbalance. The more we understand the impact of those early stages of the hormonal imbalances, the more we're talking about it, and the more we can recognize those symptoms and then do a little bit of work to try and balance those hormones out, do the natural things that are going to help us create a better balance rather than trying to just go on and almost, you know, what worked for you in your 20s and 30s, keep doing that, work hard, play hard, burn the candle at both ends. I'm not going to give in to this as an element of, I was a very kind of strong, focused businesswoman. I'm like, not going to give in to this. And actually, maybe we need to be a bit kinder to ourselves. And if we can open up that conversation and realize we're not on our own, that it's not just us, then you start to give yourself a little bit of leeway and can look, step back a little bit and go, okay, actually, am I overreacting is perhaps a harsh word to use, but is this something that's happening to me because of my hormones and I can do something about it? Or actually, is it a problem perhaps with my family, with my workplace, with whatever else is going on in your life? But being able to step back and analyze it more logically, and that only comes from knowledge.
It's so good that you're shining a light and broadening this out, because I think in the past, people just focus on one very small aspect of menopause and not really thinking about how it impacts women in all different ways in terms of different symptoms, how they're feeling, and physical symptoms as well. We'll go on to talk about the menopause symptom. But just before that, can we just talk a bit about that hormonal transition of women's life so people understand what peri and menopause are? Because people just think, as you said, oh, it's menopause, and you get that when you're 50 and you don't get your periods anymore. But what is perimenopause for our listeners that might really not understand what it means?
And like I said, I didn't know what it meant. It was only through my training. So perfect question. So let's start with menopause. So menopause is literally one single day in time. We use the term menopause as an overarching, but actually it's one day. So it's the day that you haven't had a hormonal bleed for 12 months. So if you have your last bleed on the 31st of December, 2023, on the 1st of January, 2025, so you've had no bleed throughout 2024, 1st January, 2025, that would be your menopause day. Postmenopause is the period after it. And unfortunately, our hormones don't just suddenly all come into alignment on that one day. So there's still some hormonal imbalances and work that we can do postmenopause. And perimenopause means pre-menopause, and that realistically can be 10. I say I put an overarching 10 years on it. Some say 8 to 13 years, but I would say around 10 years is the time when your hormones are becoming slightly imbalanced. I refer to perimenopause as puberty in reverse. So if you think back to how you felt, the signs in terms of puberty, that kind of maybe feeling a little bit more emotional, irregularity of periods, not always feeling quite yourself. And then throw that into the fact that you're a fully grown woman, possibly with children, maybe even having children later, so possibly children who are going through puberty themselves, possibly elderly parents. You might be at the height of your career, juggling everything, and then you've got all these hormones into play. We talk about puberty. It's a common terminology we talk about, but we don't talk about the signs and symptoms of perimenopause. And so when a client comes to me and says, I think I might be in perimenopause, or I'm not sure how I'm feeling, my kind of point is anyone over 38, 39, I'm saying, let's just assume you are in perimenopause and let's do all the things, because you can. It's all about health and well-being. It's not that I'm going to tell you to do something that is extremely particular to a perimenopause period. These are all things that are going to help your health and well-being and can be done by men and women of any age. We're just going to be tweaking it slightly with a more hormonal theme. But it's not that we can't do it at any age. So why not do those things? Why not make those positive changes as early as we can? Which is why opening up the conversation is so important.
So that's what our show is all about, those transitions in a woman's life. You're connected. So the more that women can learn to support hormones as early as possible, going to make that transition a lot better, isn't it?
Exactly. And life is all about balance. We are constantly, as women, we are constantly going through life cycles, through months. Cycles. I think we should be taught about this at school. I think boys and girls should be taught about it at school. I think if we understand even the monthly cycle and how to hack our hormones, really, it can be so powerful. If you know which hormones are at different times of the month, what things are more productive. Like at the start, we've got the follicular phase. So we're thinking about brain growing then, and we're thinking about studying. Studying is much better during that cycle, that part of the cycle. And the follicular phase, we're actually better organizing. And if we can organize our life around that, how much more powerful would that be to know that our brain is working in certain ways during the month, and we can prioritize those tasks that we're going to be better at?
It's so great for women to connect to their cycle. I was always doing this since I was a young woman, because I was always very interested in connecting to my body. And I always found that ovulation was a wonderful time. The time after ovulation is more a restful time. So women should learn to connect to that when they're younger, before their periods finish, because then when their period starts to change, they can still be connecting to their body and understanding what's going on. And it's about really just knowing yourself and caring for your body in those different transitions, whether it be monthly or over that 10-year transition from perimenopause to menopause. It's so important. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about this very important topic and also the 48 different symptoms of menopause that maybe we don't really know about, other than brain fog and hot sweat, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
The station that makes you feel good.
At BP, we've reset our strategy with a focused downstream, a growing upstream, and disciplined investment in the transition. See how we'll grow shareholder value at bp.com/reset.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on the Nutrition For Me show on UK Health Radio. And we're talking about perimenopause to menopause. Your transition is your choice, with Wendy Hill, Revivactin health expert and nutritional therapist. Now, we've talked about that time in a woman's life from perimenopause to menopause, connecting to our bodies, getting to know ourselves and really being able to support ourselves in that transition, so we have a better time of it. People have always talked about menopause in terms of the usual things like hot sweat, brain fog. But I've read, Wendy, that there could be 48 different types of symptoms that women could be encountering that maybe they don't realize are connected to the perimenopause or the menopause. Can you tell us a bit about them?
Firstly, I would say that actually I say maybe 70 different types. I think the number keeps going up, which is concerning. But surely, I think, certainly for my client and for me personally as well, some of the early signs are things, lack of motivation, maybe loss of self-esteem or loss of confidence. And I definitely felt kind of a combination of sadness and rage, which I was like, well, they're very contradictory. But some days I would just wake up and just feel just really sad, really, you know, didn't know why. And looking at my life, I go, well, I have no right to feel sad, because I've got a lovely life and I love my job and I've got nice clothes and all these kind of things. And like, why do I feel so sad? Or then you're kind of irrationally angry about things, like very agitated. I'm even, as I'm talking now, I'm screeching my whole body up and doing a face. And I remember feeling like tight and tense and anxious and just everything was like so switched on. And this is what can happen. And of course, if we go to see our GP, for example, and we go with these feelings of sadness or rage, loss of confidence, loss of motivation, then that might not initially be picked up as an early perimenopause. It might be picked up as more of a depression or anxiety that can lead to kind of women being given medication, which isn't appropriate or necessary because when they're not realizing that this is part of the journey. What's really useful is almost if you're in that perimenopause period or you think you're at the perimenopause period, downloading, there's quite a lot online, the BMS has definitely got one, where you can check all of the signs and symptoms and start to go, oh, okay, this is what's bringing it together, because everyone's journey is slightly different. So for me, that's how it was. I had panic attacks as well in my early 40s. I had just 3 or 4 panic attacks. Other women get palpitations. And I now realize those panic attacks, they just came from nowhere and they went away. When I sorted my diet and lifestyle out, they went away. And again, it wasn't until I improved my knowledge that I look back and go, oh gosh, yes, I had a couple of panic attacks. I could never had them before, had them since. Where did they come from? The journey through. So there are a lot of, you might find that it's a very small thing that you wouldn't think about, that suddenly you're like, okay, is that part of it? Fatigue is loss of sleep. Fatigue is another one. I work with a chronic fatigue charity. There are a huge amount of women in their sort of middle life who are suffering with chronic fatigue. And we're now going, oh, actually, is that perimenopausal symptoms that weren't addressed that has led to a more severe condition because we hadn't recognized the symptoms and perhaps put the work in early on to moderate them?
This is why it's so important for women to understand their own body and realize what's going on much earlier in the conversation, isn't it?
And I think that's the key, is understanding your own body. It's really connecting. You are the expert on your body, but it is connecting with your body and allowing yourself to really recognize those symptoms, to sit back and go, this is actually how I'm feeling, whether it's physical or whether it's more mental symptoms, but actually recognizing there has been a change rather than what we might do, which is almost like plow on. It's like, I don't want to give in to the fatigue. I don't want to give in to the sadness. Don't want to accept the fact that I might be having panic attacks. I'm just going to keep going. It's sometimes seen as a sign of weakness. That isn't true at all. And that what we don't want to do is open up the conversation around perimenopause, seeing as a time of weakness for women. It isn't at all. It's a time of change. And as long as we're recognizing those signs of change, they're not a weakness, they are just a change.
And the body's changing all the time. As you mentioned, girls go through puberty and nobody makes say they're weak because they're going through puberty, and that is a whole change. They're going from not ovulating to ovulating and having periods and growing breasts and different hormones every month. The woman that is in a cycle is changing different day in the month. It's absolutely fine. And we have to be comfortable with the fact that our bodies are changing all the time. Men's bodies are changing too, and that they have hormones too. Women's hormones, they're in a cycle. So it's actually a real pleasure to connect to that cycle and to honor it in the different phases of our lives, because they're all very important and they're all connected to each other. There's been a lot of talk about estrogen. A lot of women, when they go through this stage, maybe they go to the doctor and they might get antidepressants, or the doctor might do a test and say, you need hormone replacement. But I think that there's a bigger conversation, and from other than just estrogen replacement or low estrogen, you need to think about the other hormones and the role of the estrogen receptors in the body and how to be in tune with them and how we can support those receptors. Can you explain a bit about that to our listeners?
So I agree. It has all come, the talk is all around estrogen, and yes, estrogen or estradiol in particular does, our levels do reduce during perimenopause. However, our progesterone also reduces. And as you very eloquently put it, we are all about balance, and in our cycle, this balance changes. And what's happening in perimenopause is the balance can change, even though we're having lower levels of estrogen, we might have estrogen imbalances because we've got higher levels of progesterone, or we've got less progesterone, so becoming estrogen dominant, even though there's less estrogen. Sounds complicated, but what it basically just means is that there is some imbalances going on. The lower levels of progesterone are due to the fact that we are no longer releasing an egg, and the progesterone comes from the corpus luteum, which is the outside of the egg. So it comes from that. So if we are producing less eggs and bleeding less often, then this is why we're having less progesterone, and it's why estrogen became dominant. And so estrogen is quite, it's like you said, so the middle part, the ovulatory period is when we feel most confident. And this is because estrogen levels are higher. But actually estrogen can become very, it can drive anxiety if it stays high because it's a bit of a party girl. But of course, if we're not calming back down again, progesterone's a bit more calming. And if we're not calming back down and we're on this kind of like high energy for quite a long time, that ends up becoming a bit manic. So this is why we can experience those symptoms. So this is why it's very important to be able to be in line with your period and really understand what your natural cycle is like and start to recognize if you're getting shorter period, maybe a longer, you might get spotting in the middle of a cycle, you might get heavier bleeding. And this is all down to the estrogen progesterone levels. We can do what's super powerful is we can almost hack our genes through food, diet, and lifestyle so that we are helping to balance it. This is not to say that instead of hormone replacement therapy, if that is part of your journey, but it's about doing all the things naturally that we can first so that you are in control of your body. And for me, I always think if you are in the best physical place that you can be and you've done all of the natural things that you can do, then anything else that you choose to do is going to have a better effect because you've done, your body's in a better place to accept it.
Let's talk about that hormonal balance through our diets. How can we use diet to balance our hormones and support that hormonal clearance when maybe estrogen is too high and the progesterone levels are getting lower because we're not ovulating as much?
The first thing that I always talk to clients about is that clearance. So that was a key word that you just said there, Dora, was clearance. So making sure that our body is clearing out anything we don't need, including excess estrogen or other chemicals and toxins, if that be it. So making sure good clearance is really key. And that is basically to need to make sure that we groom regularly, that we have a bowel movement. And in our job store, we know we talk about bowel movements and poo all day, every day. Everyone thinks that whatever their bowel functioning is normal, but I'm here to tell the listeners that a minimum of one, and I call it a good, healthy evacuation every day, at least one a day, between one and three is what we're looking for because it's waste product. The key to that is eating plenty of fiber. And we can get that from vegetables and fruit. There's whole grains as well, things like chickpeas and legumes and lentils. Eating a whole food diet is key. One of the wonderful things about things like legumes and chickpeas is they're also high at natural phytoestrogens, which are an isoflavone, and lots of sciencey terms thrown here. The listeners just need to understand that kind of a phytoestrogen is a plant source of estrogen. It doesn't give us estrogen. It acts on the receptors. So I think plants are amazing and how they react to the body is phenomenal. We are still learning in nutritional science. We're still learning this, but we just know that our bodies and plants work amazingly together. And they work on the cell receptors to either help the cells take in more estrogen or to take in less estrogen, depending on where our body is at that certain time. How amazing is that?
It's amazing for women to know that they can take a bit of control in their hormonal balance. They don't have to be at the mercy of finding hormones. They can eat hormonal balance and hormonal clearance. And it's really quite simple. Clearing your bowel, drinking enough water, making sure you're having bowel movement, taking in these phytoestrogens, I like to call them, those plant foods that are natural sources of estrogen and combine to those receptors in the body, those estrogen receptors, and it is totally safe, isn't it?
100% safe. We work with plants. We have eaten plants throughout our survival. Plants are always going to be safe for us to eat. I would also say protein, I think, is very key as we age as well. Really nailing down our protein intake. I'm not talking about having a protein shake or one of these weird yogurt has added protein and things in there. Again, we can do this naturally. Maybe switching our breakfast to a savory breakfast is a really good way of getting protein into the day. Starting with a good protein-rich breakfast is key for me, and then making sure you get protein throughout the day. One of the things that we worry about in postmenopause, bone health, osteoporosis and osteopenia, and one of the best ways we can support that is through our skeletal muscle health. So ensuring we're getting enough protein is really key. And that also helps with other things like insulin regulation, which is, it can often go a bit off whack when we're in perimenopause because it's a hormone. So it's all about these kind of those little things that we can do to help keep those hormonal balances in. And if we're eating a very sort of carbohydrate rich breakfast and lunch or a low protein breakfast and lunch, it can be hard to get enough protein in and we might be causing those glucose spikes. Are only going to lead to almost increasing those symptoms. It's almost like they're driving those symptoms to be worse. So if we can the diet and have modulate those glucose spike, we're again, it's a very excitatory sort of period to be in. If you've got those glucose spikes, you become a bit manic, all a bit too much. Whereas if you've got a nice even flow, it's really key. Digestion as well. We're not going to take as much from the diet. Our digestive enzymes slow down as we start to age as well. Thinking about making sure we're getting digestive enzymes to ensure our body is going to break down those, whether that's taking an enzyme or eating things like bitter foods. Maybe having a little bit of apple cider vinegar before a meal. I've got quite used to the taste of it now, and I'll often just, my shot glasses at home are no longer for vodka, but apple cider vinegar.
We're talking a lot more about from perimenopause to menopause. Your transition is your choice. After a few messages from our commercial partner.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At BP, we've reset our strategy with a focused downstream, a growing upstream, and disciplined investment in the transition. See how we'll grow shareholder value at bp.com/reset.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, speaking with Wendy Hill, Revive Active Health Expert and Nutritional Therapist, about perimenopause to menopause. Your transition is your story. Now, we're doing a whistle-stop tour, Wendy. There's so much to talk about, and I'd love to have you on the show again in the future on this topic. Now, we were talking about that the diet and how the diet can support those women to clear their hormones, to balance their hormones, to balance their blood sugar in order to support the hormonal balance as well, because all of our hormones are intricately connected. But what about the lifestyle as well and self-care?
Yeah, we need to come back on. We need 3 hours, don't we, Dora, to get through this topic, definitely. So for me, really lifestyle, at the end of the day, we are in control, but there's some things we're in control of. Our diet, we should be pretty much much in control of that. Most people who are listening to this show can have access to fruits, vegetables, healthy foods. They can choose what they're consuming. And some lifestyle things we can't control. If we've got a stressful job, if we've got a stressful life, if we're caring for elderly parents, we can control lots of things. And it is about empowering us to be more positive and say, this is what I can look after. For me, very much thinking about sleep. Number one is prioritizing sleep. Common sign of perimenopause is citing lack of sleep, poor quality sleep. So putting all those self-care measures in place, putting your phone away before bedtime, not checking your emails and your messages just before you go to sleep, having some calming time. Anyone who's had children and have had toddlers, you wouldn't run them around the lounge and play a game and get them all excited and feed them sugar and then put them to bed and expect them to sleep. But we do that with ourselves. So it's really rethinking our bedtime routine, thinking about our bedtime environment. Then exercise. Or movement, I think, is more important. To say about movement, cortisol is another hormone that we can talk about. Cortisol comes into play a lot during menopause. We can be high cortisol, again, lots of cortisol, that the kind of that stress profile that clients have. And then if you're then going to the gym and doing a HIIT workout or doing a run and you're not enjoying it, it's not bringing you joy, these are very cortisol dominant forms of exercise, and it can just drive that cortisol dominance, which is a picture that we see in perimenopause. I personally have found, and definitely with lots of clients, is bringing in calmer exercise. So one of the reasons I recently became a yoga teacher is because I was using yoga myself and realized how important it was in that whole perimenopause and menopause picture, and decided to train as just a bit of an interest, and now teach a few times a week because I love it so much. But my body changed when I actually reduced the amount of cortisol-inducing exercise that I did. So lots more walks with my dogs, lots more yoga, which is very much weight-bearing. So we can think about looking at that skeletal muscle. If you want to be in the gym, then maybe having a weight-bearing exercise. And if you love running, that's fine. It's not to say don't do the things that you love, but to really think about, are you doing those forms of exercise because perhaps weight gain has become part of your picture and you're doing it because previously in your life, doing HIIT classes and going for a run was the way that you kept on top of your weight. And in perimenopause, it isn't always the case. Cortisol actually can drive middle weight gain. And we get some of our estrogen as we age from our fat cells. And we're wondering if there is a little bit of an interplay with that, that the reason we put on those kind of that middle weight, body protecting itself, a way of providing that estrogen, it's a challenge to keep that off.
We've talked about the diet, the lifestyle, making sure we have these regular bowel movements, phytoestrogenic foods, the fibers, the fruits, the vegetables, supporting blood sugar. We've talked also about the exercise, the yoga, and making sure that exercise isn't too high energy, too high impact, because that can maybe stress out the body. But there are other things as well, like the emotional aspect of self-care in terms of the community we have around us. How important do you think that is for women in this stage of life?
It's absolutely vital. And I think it's potentially one of the first things that goes, because in early signs of perimenopause, that kind of lack of confidence, the lack of joy in life, that motivation, things that used to bring you joy no longer do. And it is very tempting to not go out as much, to not socialize as much. If you're not feeling great about yourself, if you don't have that motivation, you become a little bit like a hermit. You stay at home. And we need that community. It is part of the human makeup. We need that contact with people. Again, if you're talking about it and recognizing it, you can recognize that in yourself. So maybe part of yours is that you make plans and then you cancel last minute. And if you find yourself doing it, it's almost like pulling yourself back and saying, no, I'm going to go out. Because being part of your community, whatever it might be that brings you joy, whether it's going out for a meal with friends, it might be going out dancing, part of a knitting club, whatever it is, that is part of your community and it's going to bring you joy. So it's making a more concerted effort to retain that community aspect And the blue zones show that that's one of the biggest kind of common denominators is the kind of that community aspect. And that's the happiest, longest living humans on the planet are part of these blue zones. And community is a key factor in that. So it's not necessarily recognizing that maybe you're canceling things and pulling yourself back and going, actually, I know I've got to make extra effort because you're going to feel the reward. You're going to feel the benefit.
There will be a sense of joy when you start participating again in life and not just staying home and because you don't feel good about yourself. Actually taking action will bring that joy.
Now, exactly. And it proves that oxytocin, doesn't it? Being in contact with human beings, touching with human beings, activates oxytocin, which we need.
Yeah, and that motivation, when you take action, it breeds motivation. So it
yes.
excites us again. So we just get back out there. Now, what are your thoughts on supplementation at this stage of life? Do you think it's useful?
I think supplements can always be useful if they are targeted to the individual. I'm not a huge fan of this, just throw everything at it and something might stick. It's really drilling down and saying, what are your signs and symptoms? Our body is under stress all times, but it's under more stress during this perimenopausal period. If we can give it some support to help it through, then why wouldn't we choose to do that?
Some supplements that you use with your clients or that you've seen and think are really effective. What are your thoughts?
So I'm obviously a big fan of the Revive Active. I think it's really lovely. It's got a lot of the things in there that clients struggle with. So having things like digestive enzymes, which I mentioned earlier, the Revive Active supplement has got those in them. It's got some B vitamins in there, always good for energy, particularly with things like biotin and selenium, which helps with our skin and our hair. A common side effect of perimenopause can be thinning hair. Lots of clients come to me with thinning hair. So things like selenium and biotin can really help. And then it has some lovely botanicals as well. I'm a huge fan of botanicals. And yes, we can get them from our diet, but we don't always eat a wide enough range to get as much as our body needs. So why not give it a little bit of extra help? Things like sage is one of my kind of I'm just a huge fan of sage. Quite a lot of research around it, reducing those sort of hot sweats. Not everyone gets them in the day. Lots of ladies get them at night. Sage tea. And she said, like, pick some sage from the garden, made she. I don't think it tastes very nice. And it's fine in food. Yes, great pumpkin season at the moment. So some sage with pumpkin is really nice. But having it every day can be a bit challenging. And if you're not a fan of the taste, then why not have it in a supplement that you're getting a really good level and then you can top it up around your diet. So supplementation shouldn't be instead of, it's always in addition to.
Yeah, I've noticed this Menno Botanical, and it's only one capsule per serving, which is great. I've noticed it's also got ashwagandha in there, which I thought, wow, that's wonderful, because women, sometimes they feel very stressed during the menopausal time. Very calming on the body, and that in turn is wonderful for hormonal balance, isn't it?
We talked about that, didn't we, about that manic, that anxiety, and ashwagandha has a lovely power to just bring that back down again. Stop that tension. I talked about having tension in my body, that like everything's scrunched up, and it can just almost, it's not a muscle relaxant, I'm not saying that, but it's almost like that has that effect that you just lower your shoulders and go, oh shit, a bit better.
Would you take this one any before bed, this one, the Menno Botanical, because it's calming with the ashwagandha?
I think it's okay anytime, really. I think it depends on your profile, because I've got some B vits in there as well. It would work either time of the day. If you're finding that your day is manic, then it would be useful in the morning. If you're actually saying, what's happening to me is I'm not sleeping particularly well, then take it more in the evening. But I think if your signs are very much a manic day, then I would say, again, it's about taking it when it's appropriate for the client, isn't it?
Wendy, it's so wonderful to see the Menno Active Revive Active product contain the digestive enzymes, because as you mentioned, sometimes women at this stage of life can feel that their digestion is slowing down. There are less secretions. The digestion is more important than ever because they need to be able to absorb the nutrition from their food in order to get all of those nutrients to support their hormonal balance. So it's wonderful to see that on top of all of the vitamins and the minerals, they're actually adding in those digestive enzymes.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I love about it. And I think this is the key with the Menno Active supplement, is they're not just throwing lots of stuff at it. They're being very targeted about what is in there, really thinking about the profile of the client and where they are at that specific moment in time. And digestion is key. It's one of the most common things I talk to clients about. And wonderful to have those digestive enzymes as part of a more multi-supplement to really support that. If you've got someone, if you're really thinking about your diet and nutrition, and maybe you're making some changes, maybe you're eating more fiber than you would do normally, and it's the body needs to process that, and it needs a lot of enzymes to process that, and maybe we're a little bit stressed, and stress isn't our rest and digest. It's not our parasympathetic nervous system. So all these little things just really have a really positive impact. So yeah, having those digestive enzymes for me was it's just genius, really genius.
I think sometimes women can't recognize what's good about a supplement if they're not a nutritionist. Even for us, we get bamboozled by all the products that are out there. But it's great for women to know what to look out for and how things can help them and why they should be choosing certain products, because we're bombarded with a myriad of different things. And there are some that are better than others that are more sophisticated. So it's great to be able to choose the best. What about hormone replacement? Because sometimes women go towards HRT at this stage in their life. Seems to work for some and not for others. How can you prep your body so HR works for you in the best way possible for those women that want to go down that route?
That's the key. And it doesn't work for everybody, but it does work for some. And that's a really huge benefit for some. The key for me is being the healthiest version that you can, so that whatever you're putting in your body has the maximum benefit. If you're not sleeping, I understand that some of these symptoms are a side effect of menopause, but if you haven't addressed your sleep hygiene, for example, if you haven't addressed your exercise, if you're not having a daily bowel movement, if you're not eating protein and good fiber and lots of vegetables, if you're not doing those things, drinking lots of water, if you're not doing those, then any supplement or HRT that you take has less opportunity to work well. So you're not going to feel the benefit. I don't want people to just think that HRT is the answer. And that's what started, I feel, to become the rhetoric, is that it's like, we need to make HRT available for everybody. But what we need to recognize is that it's not a magic pill. It doesn't work in isolation. It will replace that estrogen and progesterone and testosterone should we need it. But actually, if we've still got bad diet and a bad lifestyle, and you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it isn't going to work as well, and you are still going to feel pretty awful. It needs to be everything. We need to take responsibility for our diet and our lifestyle and see it as an act of self-care and an investment into our long-term health and well-being.
I also wanted to talk about meno washing. It's terrible, isn't it? Because there are so many menopausal and perimenopausal women in the UK and worldwide. We're seeing it more in the newspapers, in the radio, on the TV. Great that there's a conversation out there about menopause and women wanting to help themselves. But a lot of companies are tapping into that now, aren't they? How can women avoid the meno washing, i.e. all of the products that are out there that are can solve their problems? And how can women get solutions that are really authentic, that work for them? How can they tell if something's good or not?
It's so frustrating, isn't it? And it's so wrong, because we are the fastest growing demographic. And so, of course, marketing brands have gone, there's some money. We're probably in the prime of our earning capacity as well. We've got spare money to throw at this stage of life, these solutions. So it's wrong. It's really wrong. There is a wonderful collaboration with Gen M. Meno Active have what they call the M-ic on them. And I'm hoping that this is going to grow and really create a kind of new, should we say, a new story and a new kind of conversation around it. So the MTIC is for brands that can show that they have products that are actually beneficial to menopause. So no more menopause chocolate or menopause mascara. I do believe the menopause chocolate has been withdrawn, but menopause mascara, and you must notice it on the TV, we see menopause skincare and all these things. Now, our skin is changing. There is less estrogen. So maybe we need to adapt a little bit, but we don't need to be spending more money on product just because we're in our perimenopause and menopause years. So the MTIC brand, I think, is a real step in the right direction. And Revive Active have been really, really targeted on getting this MTIC so that they can say, actually, what we're providing you is a bona fide product that has a benefit on menopausal symptoms. And that's really key, rather than this general, used to be it was pink washing, wasn't it? That women's razors were more expensive than men's razors, even though they were the same, but they were just coloured pink. And we're now entering into that with the menopausal arena.
And I think women, they just see that word and they think, well, this is something I need, important for me. And then they pay premium for it. And I've seen it everywhere. And it's dangerous because women are being misinformed and they need to be able to go to something that they can trust and they know it's been developed and it's going to get them the solution. Look out for the MTIC. Your products have been accredited with that symbol. So it's something that women can trust. And women can look out for the Revive Active Meno Botanical and the other Revive Active product, the Meno Active. And they've been accredited with that symbol. So that's really wonderful to hear. It's been wonderful to have you on the show, Wendy. Thank you for coming on again. And hopefully we can continue this conversation another time. I could talk to you for hours on this. There's so much to cover. And listeners, I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Please do join us again next week on the Nutrition For Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active has teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start to feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio20 to get 20% off their entire range, including the Meno Active and Meno Botanicals range. And you can find out more about Revive Active on their website, reviveactive.com. And until next week, thank you and goodbye.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tompanda products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.